Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
That AC/DC let us in this evening because I am charged up. The battery is on my back. And by battery on my back, I mean all the beer and wine that I have consumed this evening. Anywho, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest, greatest, and up-to-date edition of Pod is War, baby. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at ChairShot Radio Network in conjunction with TheChairShot.com. Don't sometimes, don't every now and again, don't maybe, kind of so. Always use your head. And make sure you use your head and go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, Chair Shot merchandise. We've got shirts for everybody, all shapes, sizes, and colors. So come on, be part of the movement. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. Now that we've got that out the way, y'all know who it is. My name is Christopher Platt. And as always, I am joined by my esteemed colleague, in quotation marks, Mr. Andrew Snowflake Balls Blaz.
Woohoo! Yay! Body's War! We're back! Ha ha! Was that enough energy for you this time since you bitched last time that I came in flat? Were you good now?
No, that's actually worse.
That's too much now. God, you know, there's no pleasing you.
No, it's not that it was too much. It's that it was too fake. Like, at least before, you were being your righteous self. When I say righteous, I don't mean God. I mean, you're just being who you were.
Honest.
Now you're just throwing extras on it, and it just, no, it's just all bad, bro.
God, you know, there's no making you happy. God damn it. This is an abusive relationship.
Well, how about we introduce the better third of our pod? Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and show your love for the one, the only, the lovely Miss Brittany Lynn.
Hello, everybody. It is good to be back. And I have to say, after the first show, you know, I wasn't sure. But, you know, I'm back for the second show, so I must be doing all right.
Yeah,
you weren't sure about yourself, or you weren't sure about us?
And here we are.
You know, both. No, I'm just kidding. No, you guys are great.
Smart ass.
Yeah, it's cool. A little bit. So we're bringing Pod is War to you. A little bit late. We had to wait in circumstances. You know, Balls had to get.
Chris, I think you're battling through a sunspot right now because that was Chris.
Yeah,
Chris, you're choppier than tossed salad right now, buddy. Like, like, is it hot where you are? Is like the sun right over top of your head? Do you have a signal?
So,
did you pay your phone bill?
Well, clearly I paid the bill because I'm on my phone.
I mean, they might be cutting you off as you're speaking. I don't know how your bill works.
Actually, it's not due until the 20th, ass clown, so I still got 3 more days of service.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
So take advantage of it while you can. So y'all didn't hear any of that?
No.
I mean, we heard words and sounds, but none of it made sense.
Okay, fair enough. Can you hear me now?
We can, yes. Or at least I can, Brittany.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, fair enough. So what I was telling the good people is that the reason that Pod is War was delayed this week is because, Balls, you had to get your anal glands bleached. And I also told them that Brittany needed to get her ovaries reupholstered. So that's why we're late this week. So, Brittany, I hope you went with the new car smell. Go with the new car smell.
The new car smell. Is that the one? Okay.
That's the one. Yes.
Now the question is, do you go for the pine scent or do you go for like the coconut scented like little mirror hang thing? Like how do you do that?
Well, you know what? I'm a fan of coconut, so I'm gonna have to lean.
Oh, there we go.
A tropical paradise.
No, you know the best one is
tropical paradise.
I know you guys know that
needs to be a quote or a shirt somewhere.
That's nice. I know y'all know the California scents, like the little wood chips that you put in your car and they make them smell well. The best is the cherry. So if you didn't go with new car, go with the cherry, Brit.
Okay. Still leaning towards coconut, though. That way, you
Fair
know,
enough.
Like
I have no problem with coconut.
Yeah.
Hey, man, do your thing, Gilligan. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip. It started all when Brittany Lynn went to the doctorship. To the doctorship.
That was a good one.
Hopefully this show isn't like a 3-hour tour and it's a little more enjoyable than that. Jesus.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't know
what to say about that one.
There's not anything to say. Before we start, I just want to send a shout-out to Triple G and Canelo Alvarez. They blessed us with another great fight this evening. And Canelo won literally by a point, which, that's kind of disputable. I personally scored it a draw, but I can't wait till the third fight. And let's not wait. Let's not wait another year. Let's get this popping Cinco de Mayo. They always have a big fight come Cinco de Mayo. Let's go ahead and get this done, Cinco de Mayo. Let's get the rubber match. And nobody seems to care, so I guess we'll go ahead and get this show on the road.
There we go.
Keep it rolling, guys. Let's go. Wrestling fans should know that that is the theme that's played when Hell in a Cell is lowered. The pay-per-view is Sunday. What are you most looking forward to? Balls, take it away.
Oh, that's what that noise was. God, you know, this is what happens when I watch a whole bunch of other stuff and I don't pay attention to the ambient sounds of a cage lowering down. God damn it, I guess I'm not a true wrestling fan. I need to go hang myself or something. But anyway, so I guess what I'm looking forward to would be probably the Samoa Joe AJ Styles match. I feel that's got the most heat. It's most interesting when it comes to story build, and it's fresh when it comes to the WWE universe. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I loved Samoa Joe's children's story. That was a great segment from SmackDown, so yeah, that definitely got me invested if I wasn't already, which I was. How about you, Chris? What's got your interest?
Well, first and foremost, Brittany, could you say it again? Balls? What are you most interested in? Because I'm not going to lie.
What? I'm sorry? What did you say?
I think he just wants you to say, Balls, what are you most interested in, the same way you did last time, because it must have popped him somewhere funny.
Okay. Hold on, let me get the real sexy voice going. So, are you ready for this? All right. Okay, here we go. So, Balls, what are you most looking forward to?
Okay, well, first and foremost, it didn't pop me. I have a little more people personally, well, let me ask you this, on a scale of 1 to 10, how
Chris,
much are you is knowing the answer?
There we go. Can you repeat that? Because you chopped salad again. And I just understood
okay, I say,
knowing the answer.
Okay. Okay, absolutely.
I'm assuming you're probably trying to bury me and be like, how excited are you for this? Or what's your expectation level? Since I'm Mr., as you like to put it, Mr. Anti-WWE, and I'm just going to bury everything. You know, I'm the bullshit Dave Meltzer. So if it's not in the Tokyo Dome, it's obviously a piece of shit. So was I right? Was I close?
Yes, because I'm so far out of bounds by that assessment. Yes, so left field. Yes, but yes, pretty much yes.
I mean, you're drifting a little left of center, but whatever. We'll still go with it. Excitement level? Honestly, probably because I didn't really watch much WWE this week because I was busy. So I got to detox from, you know, what's usually kind of mediocre or kind of bad from usually what I hear. I don't know. My excitement level is probably at like a 6 or 7 because I didn't have to sit through all of the WWE programming this week. What about you? Where are you at with it?
I'm probably about a 7 or an 8. Like, the WWE programming wasn't bad. I mean, that first of all, I've been putting on consistently programs this entire summer. So you got to give them that. Raw's kind of eh, but you know, the hot storylines were the hot storylines. They would have to keep my interest. The thing I'm probably most looking forward to interview is Hardy kill himself. Like I think that's going. Like I'm looking forward to the Braun and Roman match because those two always have really good matches and they have great chemistry. And shout out to Roman for being on this game day this morning and his picks and stuff like that. He came across very well. I think the match of the night is going to be the tag with Matt McIntyre Ziggler versus Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. But I'm most looking forward to Jeff Hardy because this might be Jeff's swan song. So I wouldn't be surprised if in his swan song he did a swan time dive off of the top of the cage. Anyway, I'm not expecting Jeff Hardy to walk out of Hell in a Cell. So that's what I'm most looking forward to because I got to imagine they're going to have a spot planned that's just going to blow our minds because that's what Jeff does.
With what I understood of that, I don't disagree that Hardy and Orton is probably going to be something spectacular because Orton's vicious and that's the best kind of Orton. And Hardy's, yeah, the question mark is there for how much longer he's going to stick around, if he's going to be on his way out, if he's got surgery coming up because there was that mystery injury that he was nursing when he was United States champion and then he just kind of comes back from it and swantons onto an apron, so I guess he's not too beat up. So whatever. So yeah, Hardy and Orton could be the one that steals the show. Ziggler and McIntyre versus the Shield, though, I'm not really too interested in that, honestly, because I think it's too early to put, you know, the belts on the Shield, like all three of them, so they all stand tall. Like that would seem a little premature. So I feel like this is elongate the feud.
It's still going to be a good match, though. Come on, man. You got to give them that. I mean, the four guys involved, they're not going to put on a bad match.
Sure, but it might still not be anything really captivating because all four of them are good, don't get me wrong, but all four of them do have the tendency to just fall into their pattern and just kind of be like, okay, it's all right. It's a typical match with these people in it. Whatever. What's next?
Which is pretty good, but that's neither here nor there. But I will give you props. I think that the Samoa Joe, AJ Styles match will be good, but I'm still holding out for my Wendy on a pole match. You know what I mean? Or the wedding license on a pole. And we do have TLC coming up, so let's not act like this is outside of the realm of possibility, okay?
Why don't we just bring back Judy Bagwell on a forklift and we just put it at Wendy on a forklift? And then they have to climb a ladder to get to the top of the forklift. There we go. We can bring everything into play there.
Because that's just silly.
that's where you draw the line. Oh, good God. Okay.
That's just silly. Come on, man. But, you know, I mean, it's like jousting, man. It's almost like taking it back to medieval times, man. They're fighting for the affections of a certain young lady. Like, there's something noble in that, dilly-dilly.
You know, bro, if you're going to use the Wendy on a pole, we have to use the forklift too. We have to do that. Or you know what? We could just have Baron Corbin dress up in football gear into the Hell in a Cell and then get speared through the cell and become the champion somehow. That's what we're going to get. That's how we're doing it.
Now you're just being silly. My point, it's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, you remember Karate Kid 2? They fought for the honor of the woman. Like, the song even lets you know, I am the man who will fight for your honor. Like, do you remember any of that? They went to Japan, like Miyagi and Daniel-san
went
to Japan.
Was that 2 or 3? Because I thought Miyagi had to fight for his own honor because his father died. And then his, like, stepbrother or whatever was trying to kill him the entire movie.
Yeah, I don't know what movie you're talking about. I'm talking about Karate Kid 2 when they went over to Japan. Maybe that was a storyline there, too. But Daniel-san met a nice Asian woman.
You just wanted to remember
woman.
What you wanted to remember. I'm surprised you weren't equating me to it. Be like, he went over to Japan, found a nice little Japanese girl. They got married in the Tokyo Dome. And, you know, that's why Dave Meltzer loves everything, because he loves Karate Kid too.
Well, I'm surprised you don't remember it, because you clearly have an Asian fetish, and the Karate Kid 2 was all about Asia. Like, they literally went to Asia to film it, and it was literally about being in Asia. So,
I couldn't remember if that was 2 or 3, because I thought the second one was different, but I don't know. I think I know the right one you're talking about, and I thought the overarching storyline was the fact that Miyagi's father died, and that the other guy that Miyagi's father trained was, like, dishonored or something like that, so he kept trying to kill Miyagi. And then Daniel found a girl that was, like, living there or something like that, and they were around the same age, and it got cute and all that other stuff.
No, you're not wrong, but you're missing the part where the Asian guy that he had to fight at the end also had feelings for the girl. And that's why the song
I may have overlooked that part, yes.
Who will fight for your honor. I don't know how you overlooked that part. You're the only melon farmer I know that has 10 grand placed into their budget every year to go to the Asian parlors to get happy endings. So I don't know how you overlook that part at all. Like, this is part of your budget, bro.
I got that. Jesus Christ.
But it's just that was the order here, guys.
Can we have some decorum, please?
have you listened to Potter's War?
Brit, all you have to do is do the sexy voice again, and then I think we'll all both shut up. That's how that one works.
No, man. I'm sick of you trying to kiss up to our new moderator. Yeah,
I'm kissing
proud
up.
Of you
I was trying
up.
To fill
you
in time when
up.
you were coming through time and space from, like, the past, and you were chopping up, like, your freaking Max Headroom. Like, I was trying to just cover for you and make up time. That's all that one was.
Oh, a Max Headroom reference. That's certainly going to get us ratings, because the one guy that listens, he knows that one.
You know, fuck you. Let's go to the second question.
Yeah, let's just go.
Velveteen Dream. Oh, yeah, man. Let me stick my peanut butter into your chocolate. Let me take my almond joys and lick your funky emotions, baby. That's right. Hold on tight, cause it's gonna be a bumpy ride, but I guarantee you'll enjoy it, baby. Yeah.
So one of the most over talents in the company is none other than the Velveteen Dream. He's such a strong character, but I have to ask, what would you guys do with Velveteen Dream? Platt? Take this one away.
Okay, so let me add a little bit of context to this particular question and why this question is even on our docket this evening. So Ray Cash brought up a really interesting point on Chair Shot Radio this week. And yes, Chair Shot Radio is back. It has made its triumphant return. Dun, 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 dun. Sound the trumpets and let the townspeople and muster the Rohirrim, because Chair Shot Radio has returned. Okay, cool. So, but he brought up a really good. thank you. So he brought up a really good point. We had a conversation talking about possible Black world champions, and obviously Velveteen Dream's name came up in that particular discussion. And again, Ray brought up a really good point, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the point that he made was really Velveteen is kind of in WWE purgatory because he's at the point now where he's kind of too big for NXT, even though I see him getting a NXT title shot at the next takeover because of his win over Johnny Cleveland. But he's a little big for too big for NXT at this point, and I don't know if he's quite ready for the main roster. Or really, it's not that I don't know if he's ready for the main roster. I'm a little apprehensive and a little nervous about him going to the main roster because his character, that can easily veer off into R-Truth or Fandango territory. So, you know, I was asking Ray, well, what do you see them doing with Velveteen Dream or what's the best move for him? And he made a point because I believe that they kind of, I guess, for a better term, loaned him out to what was it? Was it Evolve, Andrew?
It was Evolve, correct.
Oh, okay, so yeah, he did a couple of Evolve shows here and there. And yeah, that was really the question, like, what do you do with Velveteen Dream at this particular point in time? It sucks because this would be the perfect opportunity if WWE was actually World Wrestling Entertainment and they had all these satellite territories set up all over the world. So, you know, I could see him doing 3 months in WWE England or WWE India or WWE Australia or something like that. Just kind of move him around and help him get a little more seasoning on him before he gets to the main roster. But at this point, I don't know what you do with him. And, I mean, he's so charismatic, and that character has the opportunity to be so big because we're talking about this guy as if he could be the next guy. So I don't want them to rush him. I want them to take their time and let it marinate and let it do what it do. So, Boss, what would you do with the Velveteen Dream?
This is a good question because ever since Dream kind of came on the scene in NXT, it's been that biting thing at a lot of people with how would this be on the main roster? How would this translate throughout the rest of the show? Would people buy into it? And, you know, the Full Sail crowd definitely, it took him a little bit because I don't remember him getting such a huge pop in the beginning, but then as his character developed, then he blew up and he turned into one of the most beloved characters in NXT right now. But when it comes down to certain aspects of wrestling, he's still very green. Like in the ring, he's not that great. He can't really carry a match. He can't really dictate a match. And I don't mean carry as in, you know, like Ric Flair with the Wrestle a Broom type thing. I mean, we've seen things like him and EC3. That was a very clunky match because they're both showmen before, like, work rate wrestlers. So certain things came off sloppy, certain things came off clunky, and it was a little hard to watch at times. He had that match against Cassius Ohno, which he tried to do certain moves in his repertoire, like the catch on the shoulders for the Death Valley Driver and all that stuff, and he fell forward. He lost his footing. Like, he doesn't understand how to kind of modify his moveset depending on who he's facing. And really, the biggest problem is kind of what you pointed out, where he's got charisma for days. Like, he is one of the most charismatic personalities on the WWE roster, main NXT, NXT UK, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, his charisma is off the charts. And people are letting their enjoyment of the character and his overwhelming charisma kind of give him the rocket, and people are thinking that he's going to be either champion really soon, or maybe they might call him up soon or something like that. And I'm just looking at the fact he's 23. We haven't really seen very many successful younger wrestlers on the main roster in what, the last 10 years? Like, sure, Orton came up, but that was like, what, almost 20 years ago now. And Cena came up when he was young, but again, about 20 years ago now. And lately, we haven't really seen it. We've seen all of the older guys that have the 12, 15, 18 years of experience come to the main roster and kind of fill the slot. I think if Dream got moved up to main roster, it'd be way too early, especially since he's got no real accolades in NXT. So why not give him some wins? Because that win against EC3 was the first win he's had on a takeover possible, I think, maybe ever. Like, I might be wrong on that one because I'm not 100% sure on every match he's had, but he's not usually very successful in the... Huh?
It was the first big win.
Well, yeah, so, like, he's not very successful in his rivalries. So the fact that he finally got a win, maybe now we can start positioning him either for the NXT Championship or what you were bringing up before about satellite territories. Maybe eventually when it gets off of Ricochet or have Velveteen take it off of Ricochet in a few takeovers, because they have heat, they had a little bit of a rivalry a couple months ago, so that can re-spark. If he takes it off of Ricochet, then he can go to things like Evolve or ROH or Defy or, you know, whatever is kind of in their little wheelhouse in North America and defend the title there just to help him get the seasoning. But I don't want to see him on the main roster for at least another year or two.
Oh, Balls, you're so cute, man. Like, I literally just want to carry you around in my pocket and feed you sunflowers until you grow into a full-size boy. Like, you're not wrong in what you're saying when in terms of his in-ring work, but at the same time, in-ring work doesn't matter, because if I can talk you into the building, theoretically, by the time I get into the building, I've already got your money. So it doesn't matter what my in-ring work is. And I feel like his charisma will carry him along for his shortcomings. But at the same time, I also agree with you, because he is so young. There are some holes in his game in terms of his in-ring work. And, I mean, theoretically, he could stay down in NXT for another 2 or 3 years because of his age. He is so young. But I feel like his only comp really is Rocky Maivia. And this is a little bit of foreshadowing, because we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show. But I feel like that's his only comp, as in a young guy who his charisma is just off the charts and it's undeniable, and you have no choice but to push him to the top. So I feel like that's his comp here. And as far as, you know, getting big wins in here and there, if you remember The Rock's initial run in WWE, he did a lot of jobbing. I mean, quite frankly, he made Triple H, because he got Triple H over in his feud. Like, he took the pins to Triple H on the majority of occasions. But it didn't matter if he lost, because he was just so charismatic. Like, all he had to do was come out and raise his eyebrow, and he's going to get the crowd right back behind him. So it didn't really matter at that particular point. But I feel like that's the only comp really here to Dream and what we have going on here. But I honestly don't know what to do. That's why, you know, I kind of threw it to you. Like, I don't know what to do with him, because I do feel like, I mean, you make the argument that he hasn't gotten a lot of big wins in NXT, but I feel like he's kind of, I agree with Ray on this, he's kind of outgrown NXT. So I don't know what you do, but I don't want him up on the main roster yet. So I do think that he is going to get a title shot here at one of the next takeovers. I frankly think he's going to win. I think he's going to beat Ciampa. And Johnny Wrestling, or Johnny Cleveland, as I like to call him, is going to have something to do with that. And then that creates the rubber match for Ciampa and Johnny at the subsequent NXT. Maybe WrestleMania, maybe Royal Rumble. I don't know. But I think he is going to get the NXT title here sooner rather than later. And that's going to be interesting to see how he carries it. But I don't know. I don't know what you do with that guy. I'm just nervous for him to get called up to the main roster, because I'm hoping that the charisma is just undeniable, but I see how that can go horribly sideways.
Well, can I interrupt you there for a second? Because to add on to this question is, will a move to the main roster hurt his character?
Well, okay, here's the thing. What do you think, Britt, since we're kind of in limbo, do you have anything that we could maybe, you know, kind of build off of? What do you think?
I'm a big fan of Velveteen Dream. I think when it comes to a main roster move, it makes me a little nervous, because I think his character in general, I think a lot of times when guys with similar things move to the main roster, either Vince McMahon or whoever it is, they don't know what to do with them. So we end up like, no way, Jose. Obviously, he's not quite as comparable as Velveteen Dream as far as, you know, being over, but they took his character and he's like a little clone of Adam Rose. Is that what his name was? So I feel like they kind of turn him into more of a joke. And so I feel like that is my fear of them bringing him up to the main roster.
And I agree with that, because that's exactly the angle I was coming from. Because, yeah, I could see where that character, like I said earlier, it could easily turn into R-Truth or Fandango. The only thing that I hold my hat on is that in the history of this country, the two most proficient and the two best talents that this country have ever produced, Prince and Michael Jackson, were both effeminate black men, so that had swag. So there's an audience, like white people will pay for effeminate, charismatic black people. Like that, there's a history of that. So I kind of hang my hat on that because I feel like his charisma will carry him. I'm just nervous. I'm still nervous. Like, I don't want them to fuck this up because this literally, this guy, we're talking about this guy could be the next guy, and I don't want them to fuck this up. So just relax, take it slow, and yeah, just let it build. But again, I don't know what to do with him. I really don't. I have no idea what to do with him, and it makes me nervous. It makes me want to shit my pants.
No, you're right, and it's something when we're all coming from slightly different perspectives, but we have the same kind of bead on the situation where we like Velveteen. Velveteen's a great character. He's undeniable when he hits the microphone or when his music hits and when he starts sauntering down the aisle or the ramp, whatever you want to call it.
I love that you said sauntering. That's awesome.
I mean, you have to add something to it because it's not just a walk. Like, as you put it, he has some swag to him. So a saunter is about where I would say he is. But regardless, like, main roster, it's not well known to be nice to anybody with an interesting, flamboyant, or effeminate gimmick like Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze was a damn good wrestler in NXT. He's a pile of shit now. You know, he's a selfie stick, you know, a fucking duck face model. And then Fandango was a dance. That's all that got him over. If it wasn't for people doing his stupid little Fandango dance in the ring, he probably wouldn't have beaten Jericho at that WrestleMania. And that was literally like the only thing he's got to his name. Cause what? Then there was that really crappy feud with Summer Rae and whoever the hell else he had as a dancer. Was it Layla L or I forget. I don't even care. But
Layla, well, he had three.
Regardless. Oh yeah. And I think Lana at some point, cause there was some.
No,
weird...
I think it was Rose. It was Rose Mendez.
Oh, you're right. I totally forgot about Rosa. Yeah. But
yeah,
either,
Michael Hayes
either way,
Rose, allegedly.
Yes. Either way, like, Fandango's a joke. Goldust he gets compared to a lot. And Goldust, for as good of a run as he had for, like, what, a year or two, as you know, like the Vince Russo years, as soon as the Attitude Era kind of died, Goldust kind of died because he's a joke. Like, he's just, you know, electrocuted himself and he starts spazzing out and can't speak right. And he went from being enigmatic, mysterious, and androgynously sexual to a yammering idiot. So, like, I don't know. Like, these kind of characters don't do well on the main roster. People just don't understand how to write them. And I'd really, really just like to see him stay in NXT for a while or pop over to NXT UK or, you know, just what you said before, which was a perfect idea. Just have him go do smaller stuff. Loan him out. Keep him off of television for a couple months if you have to. Just have him go do other stuff, other places. Just don't move him too fast because that's a gimmick that I think people will be very sad if it gets ruined.
So two things. Number one, the Fandango gimmick could have worked. Now, the reason it didn't work, he should have taken dance class lessons. Like, he should have really been a great dancer. I don't think he did that. Number two, should I say this? Should I say this?
Do it. Say it. Do it.
I don't think Fandango likes girls. And because that's the other part of the gimmick that could have got him over. Because, you know what I mean, if you're going to be an effeminate guy, you got to be able to dance. And you have to have chemistry with the woman that they put you with. And they put him with three different women, and he didn't have chemistry with any of them. Which makes me think that he doesn't necessarily like the girls first. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I just don't feel – yeah, I feel like that's where the disconnect came with the gimmick. Not saying that could have been a main event gimmick, but it could have got over a lot better if it did – or than it did, rather, if he had taken dad's classes and became a legitimately good dancer and if he would have had chemistry with the girl. Because it's like, oh, this guy, he's effeminate, he's queer and this and that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but – he's got these hot chicks on his side and they're, you know, they love his dirty draws. Like, that could have got over and that could have got heat. But I don't think Fandango necessarily goes for girls first. So when I say on the Fandango side of the game, now y'all know what I mean by that. Number two, The thing with the Velveteen gimmick, I pulled out the Rocky Maivia comp, and the other comp would be Shawn Michaels, who was another guy that had a feminine gimmick, and he made it to the main event level. Now, granted, Shawn Michaels, you know, he's one of my two favorites. Like, Rock and Shawn are my two favorites. And he's arguably the greatest in-ring performer ever. So I'm not saying that Velveteen is on that level. But all I'm saying is that you can get that effeminate gimmick over to a main event level. Like, there is precedent.
Shawn was effeminate in a different way, though. Like, as you compared him, Dream is like the Prince, the Michael Jackson, where he's kind of androgynously effeminate. And you think maybe he swings the Fandango way, as you like to put it. But he has a
viciousness to him in the ring, though, too. Like, he's shown viciousness in the ring.
I agree. But then Shawn was just like the pretty boy. Like, that's why people would say he's effeminate, because he posed for what? Playgirl. And like, his theme was sexy boy. Like, he was just that the pretty boy that all the girls liked and all the guys hated, because he was just cutesy and he wasn't like overly masculine or overly muscular, but the girls still went for him because of the charisma and the fact that he was going out of his way to kind of look presentable to them and, you know, be the heartbreak kid. So he was like just a smaller Rick Rude in a sense, which is, that's why it's a little different than Dream.
Because Rick Rude, I understand what you're saying. That, and at the end of the day, though, Rick Rude was a legitimate badass, and that came across in his character. Like, he could literally fuck you up if he wanted to. R.I.P., by the way.
Yeah. I mean, more gimmick-wise. Gimmick-wise is where I was aiming, not for the portrayal of the persona. Because there's a difference in how Dream carries himself and how Shawn carried himself. So I get what you're saying. I do. But I would still equate him more to Rocky or Goldust than ever Shawn Michaels.
Well, I guess it remains to be seen, man. We just kind of hope and pray that they don't screw this up. I think we're in a consensus with that one, right?
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah,
I agree with it. I agree. It's nerve-wracking. So we're going to ring the bell one, guys.
Yeah, that's what the word consensus means here, but it's all good.
Yes. Even the big word. You know, come on. I'm just here to sound nice and look cute, all right?
Me too. You can't steal my gimmick.
All right, so Brittany's taking your gimmick. You need a new one, Platt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sound nice and look cute. Like, yeah, that's my gimmick. It's been very, very fruitful for me, man. I've gotten a lot of buns off of that gimmick, man. I got a lot of good miles off of that.
I'm sorry.
Add up like frequent flyer miles?
I wish they did, but I'm washed now, man. I've settled down. I found me a nice lady, so I'm washed now. So I
can you roll them over to a different account? Like, how does this work? I need to know. Can you gift miles to someone else?
I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I'm still trying to cash in my miles to have my dreams come true, if you know what I mean. I'm still trying to cash in my miles and see if we can, bring somebody else aboard with some miles. But that's neither here nor there.
I mean, that one's up to Amber. Oh, yeah.
Moving on, shall we? Defended the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Tomohiro Ishii at Destruction in Hiroshima this weekend. Balls?
that's crazy. Do the words thing.
Balls?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like, you know, you're the reason we're even talking about this, so balls?
I do love how that was still somewhat appropriate for the topic we ended off on, with, you know, using the miles and everything, and then we hear, like, you know, the sirens and, like, a dog barking, like, oh, like, oh, that's just funny how it's like a dog kind of thing. Like, I like it. I like it. You like the synergy, Platt?
Fair enough, man. I can smoke a bag of that.
So, yes, that theme was Tomohiro Ishii's theme, and that's because he's the stone pit bull, so that's why there's dogs in the beginning. But, yeah, destruction in Hiroshima, which I'm pretty sure Platt will have a fun time with that name of a show. But that was Saturday, which we're recording. Technically, we're recording in really early Sunday because it's past midnight. But so it happened. It was a typical New Japan show, which, you know, for anybody that's watched New Japan, you know, it's a lot of undercard tags that don't necessarily mean a lot. And then the main event. So there was a couple undercard tags that sort of mattered. There was the Never Six Men with the Tongan Bullet Club against Taguchi Japan. The Tongans kept it. It was a forgettable match. Wasn't overly good. So we can pass that one. There was the six man with Kazuchika Okada, Jay White, Yoshihashi versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, Togi Makabe, and Tomoaki Hanma, which that's fun because, as Platt knows from when we were talking about the G1, Jay White and Okada have this friction going on because Jay White wants to take over the lead in Chaos. Okada and Tanahashi have a match next week for the Wrestle Kingdom briefcase, and Jay White is technically the next in line for that because he beat Tanahashi during the G1. So there's a lot of odd heat there. Plus, there's also stipulation that after the G1, Tanahashi wanted to kind of take Yoshihashi from Chaos and mentor him because he thinks that he can get more out of Yoshihashi than Okada could. So there's going to be this fight for Okada. So in a weird parallel to Hell in a Cell and how we opened up everything, there's going to be a Yoshihashi on a pole match basically between Kazuchika Okada and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Platt, how do you feel about that one?
Well, first and foremost, man, can we mention how Okada is now living his best life now that he doesn't have to carry New Japan? Like, am I wrong in that assessment?
I mean, he's living some kind of life with his red hair, shitty pants, and balloons. So, yeah, it's a thing. So if you want to call it best life, we'll go with that. Go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he seems like he's enjoying himself a lot more than having to carry the whole New Japan brand. So, you know, I popped my collar to him for that, and I have to salute him for that. Now, first and foremost, the guy that Omega fought, is this the bald-headed guy with the pack of Franks in the back of his neck?
Yes.
Okay. I like him a lot. Like, he's very entertaining.
I figured you would, because he is a tough motherfucker.
Yes, he is a tough motherfucker, and yeah, I like him a lot. So yeah, that's interesting to me. So yeah, I just had to comment on that. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to see the show. I'm kind of breaking kayfabe here, but if you said it was good, then it was good balls, because that's what you enjoy.
I mean, it wasn't bad. Like, people who like New Japan will like the show, and the Kenny Omega match was all right. Like, I'm fairly sure nobody cared, in a sense that nobody thought Ishii had a shot, because it's only Omega's second defense. And you could even hear that with the crowd. The crowd wasn't really getting into it too much until like the 25th minute of like the 30-minute match. So yeah, it was definitely a little hard. Nobody did anything super flashy or super special to really make a point in this match. It was just a good, solid match from both of them. And whoever the hell else they had on commentary with Kevin Kelly this time was fucking awful. Like, it was terrible.
So let's talk a little bit about Jay White, because, you know, I'm not the biggest Jay White fan. Like, he's a hell of a wrestler. Like, he's a really good wrestler, and I can't think of any bad Jay White matches I've seen. I just don't see him as a star. I don't see him drawing money, but he seems to be getting a really big push here at New Japan. So how do you see this ending up? Do you think that he will eventually get the title, or where do you see this Jay White push going?
This Jay White push I can see as a way to break up Chaos, because Chaos has been around for 7 or 8 years, I want to say. Yeah, because it formed out of the rubble of Togi Makabe's Great Bash heel, and Yano and Shinsuke Nakamura started it as a heel stable. Then they slowly kind of became tweeners, and after Nakamura left, they've kind of been mostly goofy faces that don't really do anything necessarily stable-like, aside from going match like tag and triples together because they happen to be in the same stable, but there's nothing tying this team together. So since there's nothing that keeps them together, Jay White could definitely be that thing that breaks them apart and maybe creates something better for all of the people involved.
Fair enough. What do you think about Jay White personally?
You're not too far off with your assessment for how I feel, because he's a really good wrestler. He's starting to finally find a gimmick, but I don't see them really putting the main belt on him anytime soon, especially with how specific or nitpicky or just like how prestigious they make the belt, that it's only been on 4 people in like last 5 years. It's Naito, Okada, Tanahashi, and now Omega. So they, and I guess 5, because Styles probably had it right towards the end of that. So
yes.
5 people in 5 years is not really a lot of hot potatoing, you know what I mean?
Okay, so who takes the belt off Omega? Is it Tanahashi?
That would be a good story, because anybody who's won the briefcase or won the G1 has never been able to cash in and win the belt at Wrestle Kingdom. So for as long as they've had the Money in the Bank contract, quote unquote, so to speak, it's been more of a curse than a blessing. So Tanahashi getting one more run, it's a feel-good story because he's kind of on this comeback tour because he's had all these injuries and he had a down last couple years and he's still extremely beloved in Japan. And yeah, it would be the feel-good thing. So if anybody was to do it, it would probably be Tanahashi.
So gun to your head, would you say Tanahashi takes the belt off of?
Currently, yes.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm thinking Tokyo 3K.
Oh, stop with your made-up paper. you know a little bit about the storylines and what's going on. So do you think that Tanahashi will complete his comeback tour, so to speak?
I think that makes the most sense. Because, yeah, I don't think Okada wants any parts of that belt for a long time. And he's having fun again wrestling, and that's obvious. So shout out to him. But, yeah, storyline-wise, Tanahashi makes the most sense. And, yeah, Tanahashi makes the most sense.
Alrighty. So, Platt or Brittany, is there any questions you want to ask about New Japan, or you want to end it there?
Well, I don't really follow New Japan. I know that sounds bad, right? But so I don't have any questions about it.
I
have nothing.
I do have a question.
Heard anything?
I do have a question. What's your problem
boy.
With Tokyo 3K? I feel like Tokyo 3K is the biggest star they have right now, and I feel as if you're burying him on these airwaves, and I don't really appreciate that.
You know, ever since he broke up his team with Kushida. Like, I just don't know how to feel anymore, because you're like, I love that team. I love Tokyo 3K and Kushida, because the K went into Kushida. It was such a pretty way they could ornate their tights and everything. Like Tokyo 3 Kushida, it was fantastic.
Well, maybe they can have a sushi on a pole ladder match, and you know that's how they blow off that feud.
Yes. Bento boxes for everyone.
I don't know about you and these, you know, people like Wendy on a pole and sushi now. I don't know.
It's wrestling. Like, this is what they do. It's wrestling. Like, I'm not far off.
I think
off.
She's
like,
just saying you seem to like things on a pole. Are you on that Fandango side and you're just not telling us?
No. I like my pole, and that's about it. I enjoy my pole. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I'd hate to go from you talking about your poll into, well, the next segment, but I think we should continue on with this question. So
it kind of works.
Moving,
right? You should do it.
Yeah, you know what it does. So let's just keep it moving.
I'm so proud of my daughter. She watched when I returned to the WWE probably about 5 years ago when I became WWE champion. had that great run with John Cena, back-to-back WrestleMania main events. She instantly became hooked and became a fan. And not only that, but the best part about that has been just all the research and the studying that she does. And I always tell her, I said, listen, you know, the ring will always be there. Literally the 23-foot by 23-foot ring, squared circle, will always be there. Your job is to make sure that you understand the business of professional wrestling, top to bottom, 360 degrees, what know everybody's job from promo all the way down to wrestling, everything again. So, you know, having her in that mindset has been great, and all the setting she's been doing, all the conversations we've been having, I never would have imagined that, and it's such a cool, cool thing. I have three daughters. I have her, who's 16, 2.5-year-old, and a 3-month-old. So who knows what might happen. It's so cool, though, when your child wants to follow in your footsteps. I mean, that's just dope. I love it.
The Rock is training his daughter to be a WWE superstar. Given the WWE's propensity to give every opportunity to second, third, and in her case, would be a fourth generation star, is a major WWE run for Simone Johnson a given? Platt, we'll start with you since she's 75% black.
So since you wanted to go there, number one, for those that don't know, The Rock is black, man. Like, his daddy is black. The Rock is black. Okay, like, one of the things that he has going for him, I say arguably, is because he's racially ambiguous, so he could be whatever you want him to be. But The Rock is black. I mean, the man's name is Dwayne Johnson, for Christ's sakes. Like, that's the blackest name since Dikembe Mutombo, okay? Like, when I hear Dwayne Johnson, I feel like he needs to be in his backyard fixing carburetors with a do-rag and a Newport hanging out the side of his mouth, okay? Like, that's pretty fucking black name.
You ready?
What'd you say?
No, I said you're right. I agree.
Yeah, that's a pretty black name, Dwayne Johnson. Now, as far as that clip that you just played about his daughter, he's lying. He's lying. He knows how tough this business is, and I seriously doubt that he would have preferred for his children to follow his footsteps and go into this business, especially how hard he works. Like, he's worked so hard to kind of, you know, the sky's the limit for them. They can pretty much pursue whatever they want to pursue. But at the same time, this is the family business, so maybe that's what she wants to do. So I actually have kind of a funny story. I actually saw The Rock's daughter when I was leaving WrestleMania this year in New Orleans. So it was The Rock's daughter and his mom. So we're in the airport in New Orleans. It's Monday morning after Mania. We're getting ready to fly back here to Atlanta. Amber went to a spot to go find something to eat, and everything that they had at the spot she found, everything that they had that I might have possibly wanted, it had pork in it. And we talked about that last week. I can't eat pork anymore. So I moseyed along, and I found me another spot. So I'm sitting in line, haven't ordered my food yet, and I see The Rock's daughter and Miss Maivia, walking by. So, and I see, okay, they're in line, the same spot I am. So I'm just sitting there chilling. So next thing I know, I order my food, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for my food because it's kind of a long-ass line, so they have a lot going on. So you guys know how you can feel when somebody's eyes are on you, like when somebody is, like, still staring a hole in your head, right?
Yes.
So I feel that, and I look over, and it's like, oh, shit, it happens to be Miss Maivia. It happens to be The Rock's mom checking me out. And this is how I know she was checking me out, because when I looked over and we caught eyes, she quickly turned her head, like, to say, okay, I wasn't looking at him. So that's how I know, like, The Rock's mom was checking me out. So, you know, I'm going to pat myself on the back on that one.
There was your chance, and you didn't
take
it.
You could be The Rock's dad, is what you're saying.
Yeah, actually, yes, because his mother clearly wanted to smell what I was cooking. Clearly.
And you didn't take the opportunity.
Well, I had my lady there. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, she would have understood. I mean, come on.
Yeah, she might have okayed that. You should have asked Amber. Yeah. She might have been like, well, there's a lot of money. It's The Rock's mom. You have fun.
You all clearly haven't met Amber.
Not much, no. She said, like, what, three sentences on the show before?
Yeah, and I've tried to run that angle before, and that went over about as well as a fart in church. So there's that.
How big is the church?
Yeah. Well, but yeah, I can't see Rock being overly thrilled about his daughter wanting to go into this line of work, because it's a tough line of work. Like, this is a tough business, man. You fuck your body up. You don't have a whole lot of off time. And it's even worse for women, because they're less capable of taking these bumps than men are, just because of the way that their bodies are structured, and the men get fucked up. So you can only imagine how fucked up the women get. Don't see him wanting his baby girl to go into this line of work, but at the same time, it's the family business. So he's going to look out for her as much as he can. He's going to give her all the game about the business as he can, and we'll see what happens.
Sure. Oh. Sure. Let's go with that. Because, I don't know, I've got no faith in this. I don't know the girl, don't get me wrong. I don't know how Rock would be as a trainer or a teacher, if he would even take her under his wing. But
I mean, there's worse trainers you could have. Like, if she has an ounce of the charisma that Rock has, she's going to be just fine, and she's going to make a lot of money in this business.
True. Or she could be like her cousin Nia Jax.
Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue.
I'm
bite your tongue.
You know
there will
how
be
I
no big fine slander on these airwaves.
Hey, she's big and she's fine. I'm not saying anything bad about that, but I do not want to see her wrestle. Like, I'd like to see her anything else, but wrestling is not her forte. Like, between her and Lacey Von Erich, I'd rather see Lacey Von Erich wrestle. And Lacey Von Erich was inept and awful. And she's a Von fucking Erich. So what the hell does that tell you?
A better comparison would be like Serena Snuka, you know? Maybe. Instead of Nia Jax.
I mean,
maybe not, because she could wrestle.
I don't feel like we see very much of it, you know?
Can she? Like, Tamina's not great. That's who we're talking?
Yeah, Tamina. I'm sorry, I called her by her actual name.
Yeah.
That's who I thought you were, because I'm like, I think that's her name, but I'm not actually 100% sure.
Yeah, Tamina.
But yeah, Tamina's a wash out in a sense, because she's just gotten injured so much, which that goes to what Platt was saying, where guys get injured fairly frequently, and we've seen a lot of the female wrestlers get injured in more freak ways or more often, or they're always like have these nagging injuries. Like Sasha Banks had issues with her back for like a year and a half. Then we know what happened with Paige when she thought she was good. Then she nearly got paralyzed kind of thing. And, you know, Tamina's been, I think she spent more time injured than she has actually active on the roster. So I don't know. Like the legacies of wrestling don't really have a great track record when it comes to, you know, being able to perform. Sure, Charlotte is changing that narrative slightly, but it's also because she's Flair. She's not really gotten injured that often. She's athletic enough to cover up a lot of her other weaknesses, but still, like, none of them, like, just blow the doors off and you go, wow, that's fantastic. You're just kind of like, wow, their last name is why they're here. Okay.
But Charlotte's, she's also a freak athlete, and I don't think she gets enough credit for how athletic she is. Like, she's the exception to the rule. But, I mean, again, that being said, that is the family business, and they clearly have an end to the WWE, so that's what she wants to do. You know, more power to her. And there's a lot worse trainers or, you know, that you can have other than The Rock. Like, you make an argument that The Rock is the most successful star that's ever come out of wrestling. So there's a lot worse trainers that you can have than him. So we'll see what happens.
True enough. I think that's a good ring the bell point.
Yeah, I was actually going to say I didn't even need to ring the bell and, you know, separate you two.
Well, we mostly agree.
Yeah, I know that, so I'm pretty impressed.
Bang, bang,
well,
bang.
I am impressed.
Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Do you want to throw sometime? Bang. This is the Manny Pacquiao who has dominated boxing for the past 3 years. Bang. Bang, 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 bang.
first fight took place 3 years too late, Floyd Mayweather has revealed that a second fight with Manny Pacquiao is indeed booked. Platt, does the world need a second fight?
Okay, so before I answer that question, just to add a little bit of context to the situation. So Saturday morning, ESPN leaked a story saying that Floyd Mayweather had confirmed that a second Manny Pacquiao fight is going to happen in December. And they also accompanied that article with a clip from Floyd Mayweather's Instagram in which he and Pacquiao were both at a music festival in Japan. And they were confirming that. Like, I've listened to the clip. It's kind of hard to hear.
Was it at the Tokyo Dome? Was it at the Tokyo Dome?
It was not at the Tokyo. It was not at the Tokyo Dome, balls. But Toyota 3K was there. He was present.
It sucks. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. It sucks.
So it was kind of hard to hear because, you know, the music and stuff like that was in the background. But Manny Pacquiao was bragging. He's talking about, I'm the champ now. And Mayweather said, well, I'm going to take your title and blah, this, blah, that. And, you know, no shoulder injury is going to be your excuse and blah, this, blah, that. As far as whether or not the fans want to see this or if we need to see another one, I think that's neither here nor there. What this tells me is that, number one, Manny Mayweather needs a check. And number two, well, we already know Pacquiao needs a check. I feel like his financial situation has been well documented, you know, so he clearly needs a check. And that's what I feel like was going on here. So we're going to have Mayweather, Pacquiao too. This time it's for the money.
I wanted to say Electric Boogaloo, but you went for the money reference again.
No,
I like that.
Please. No, please do it. Do it. Please.
Mayweather Pacquiao 2, Electric Boogaloo. You're okay with that?
Pop! Pop!
Just checking, that's all. You love your Spaceballs reference, so I wasn't sure how Breaking would work.
Oh, I love Blake Breaking. As a matter of fact, I just showed Amber Breaking probably about a month ago, and she hated it, but, you know. Like, it's not like it's a good movie. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of the things, like, you like ironically. You know what I mean?
It's a very 80s movie. It's kind of like Last Dragon.
Yes.
Last Dragon is fantastically 80s.
No. Last Dragon was a good movie. Electric Boogaloo was not.
Last Dragon and what? Like, Big Trouble in Little China are kind of, like, on that same level for me, where, like, this is so cheeseball, but it's the 80s, so you can give it a pass.
They're both good movies, though. I can't say the same thing about Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo. But Last Dragon and Big Trouble in Little China, those are both good movies. Like, I'll watch them and be thoroughly entertained. Not ironically.
Without having
either.
To watch
like,
them ironically. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
not ironically. I'll be entertained by it.
Fair enough. And, yeah, when it comes to Mayweather-Pacquiao, I think the biggest question when it comes to those two is not how this fight's going to be, but who the fuck needs the money more? Like, How can Mayweather be, what, 51-0, 50-0, however you want to count the WrestleMania appearance, and be in such bad straits when it comes to finances? And then Pacquiao, at least it seems like he tries to be a little more of the humanitarian and give his money, you know, spread it around to, like, the Filipino islands and, you know, like, his people and where he came from, and just bad investments and overall just dumb shit happened, and that's why he's kind of busted. So who needs the money more in this one? Who do you really think?
Well, Pacquiao clearly needs the money more. And I'm glad you brought that up, man, because it brings up a good point that I wanted to bring up. So when it comes to Mayweather, number one, Mayweather is the modern-day Ric Flair. Like, you know what I mean? Like, part of his gimmick is
good
being
point.
Opulent and overspending and stuff like that. Like, that's part of the gimmick. And you know how Ric Flair went broke living the gimmick, and I feel like Mayweather is similar to that. But at the same time,
to be fair, Flair's also had as many weddings and divorces as title reigns, so that doesn't help either.
I'm so pissed off that you stole my joke because I brought that up on Chairshot Radio. As a matter of fact, make sure you guys listen to Chairshot Radio, which comes out every Friday. That's the question I asked. I said, so has Ric Flair had more weddings or more title reigns? Like, I literally legitimately asked that question.
Oh, that's fantastic because I didn't even listen to radio yet. I was going to listen to that tomorrow.
That's great. I guess we've been spending too much time together. We're starting to think of, like, that's scary.
Seemingly so. Jesus.
Yeah.
But yes, continue your Mayweather gimmick, yes.
But the thing with Mayweather is, man, you know, people don't understand this, and I think it's because most people have never owned their own business or don't own their own business or have never ran their business. They don't understand. So you see, okay, Mayweather gets a $100 million check, and you don't understand. Most people don't understand. Well, okay, number one, he's got to pay his corner, his cut man, and his trainers. He's got to pay his sparring partners out of that. I'm sure he has the staff. He's got to pay them out of that. He might have to even pay the venue that put on the fight after that. You know what I mean? He's also, most of his fights for the last 10 years, he's been the promoter. So he also has to pay the other fighters that are also on the card. Like, and Sam is going to get his, talking about our uncle. Like, Sam is definitely going to get his. So, you know, you see he's got that $100 million check, and you think he's just taking that home. But, no, there's a lot of people that he has to pay with that $100 million check. So, you know, and again, I don't think most people really understand that because he's not a businessman. He is a businessman. So, yeah, clearly he needs a check. And that's why the Pacquiao, or that's why the McGregor thing went down, too. And this is a zero-sum game for Floyd. Like, he's going to get a check. Obviously, I don't think it's going to be as big as their first fight, but it's still going to draw some pay-per-view money. It's still going to draw some interest, and it's still going to make some money. So why not? And it's a – I mean, what does he have to lose? He's clearly not going to lose this fight. Like, when he fought Pacquiao before, he clearly outclassed him, and that was, what, 3 years ago. Pacquiao was clearly not the same fighter that he was 3 years ago. So he has nothing to lose here. So why not pick up that money on the ground?
Well, true, but Pacquiao also apparently had that injury a little bit beforehand that he kept quiet on because he needed the money. So he didn't want to pull out of the match. So, sure, I get you. But, okay, here's the fun point. Here's the fun point to this. Since Pacquiao has a belt, I'm assuming that the belt will be on the line for this match. Did you hear that or no?
I don't know if the belt's going to be on the line, but Mayweather said, because Pacquiao made mention of he's the champ, and he said, and Mayweather said, well, I'll take that belt too. So
okay, I wasn't
I'm
sure
assuming
if that
the belt's going to be on the line.
So then let's assume Mayweather wins because he's never lost, so there's no precedent for him losing. Does this continue his career, or do you think he'll like immediately vacate the belt, or you think the IBF, HBO, Showtime, Stars, MCI, Maxwell House, whatever the fuck it is, like if that commission, federation, whatever it is, will force him to have another match?
Well, the thing is, Mayweather is playing with house money here. Like, he's the draw, so he calls the shots. So even if he wins the belt, I could see a scenario where he vacates it because he can't keep doing this forever. But even if he doesn't want to necessarily up front, he's calling the shots here because he's the A side. So, you know, whoever has the gold rules, that's the golden rule. So I could see a scenario where he, you know, he negates the belt or forfeits the belt. But if he doesn't want to, he's not going to have to.
No, that's fine, because as we've established over the last couple weeks between the Greg DeMarco show and Pot Is War, you follow boxing a lot more closely than any of us do. So I wasn't sure how the dynamic between the federation that carried the belt, whatever the hell it is, and the champion who really had the most say in, well, you've got our belt, you have to do one match, or if you can just be like, you know what, fuck it, vacating it, and I'm actually retiring. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing that I dig so much about Mayweather is because he has all the leverage. Because not only is he the best fighter, and I can make the argument that he's the greatest of all time, but he's also a promoter as well. So he has all the leverage in this particular situation. So basically, Mayweather is going to do whatever Mayweather wants to do. And this is the same lesson that I keep trying to teach you all. So any young people that are listening to this, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Listen to your Uncle Christopher, okay? Your goal in life is to put yourself in a position where you have the leverage to do exactly what the fuck you want to do. That is your goal in life, period. Don't listen to anybody else. Listen to your Uncle Christopher. That is your goal in life, to put yourself in a position to do whatever the fuck you want to do. And remember this, you don't ever get paid what you're worth. You're not ever on this life in this life, rather, on this plane of existence, you're not ever going to get paid what you're worth. What you get paid is what you have the leverage to negotiate. And that's a jewel. So you put that in your pipe and you smoke it, and you take that with you, and you're welcome. That's from Uncle Chris. Feliz Navidad.
And happy Yom Kippur, or Rosh Hashanah, or whatever fuck it is. Hooray! Mazel tov.
Yeah, shalom. I'm not wrong. Listen to me. Listen to
you're
me, young
wrong.
People. I'm not
no.
wrong.
You don't hear me arguing
no,
it. You've got a good point there.
Yeah. Listen to me, young people. I'm not talking to you, balls. I'm talking to the young folks out there listening to me. The other one,
God,
the
now,
other listener.
What the fuck am I, like, ancient now? Jesus Christ. I'm not talking to you, old man. I'm talking to the young people. Back in my day, we used to be able to negotiate for 5 cents on the dollar, and that was a good time.
You know good and damn well you don't listen to me, man. You're a lost cause, brother.
And yet you still say we've been around each other too much because we're speaking similarly. So who's really listening to who?
Well, what means is I'm starting to put some sense into you, so I'm flattered.
You know, however you want to spin it, buddy, that's on you.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Like, there's no spin, baby. That's what it is. You're
like,
welcome.
You're just like, yep, that's how it is. Fuck off. Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm glad some of my game is rubbing off on you, baby. That's what I'm here for, man.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think he's waiting for the thank you.
Yeah, I didn't expect it, but I'm expecting my Christmas gift to be in the mail, though, so there's that.
Well, I almost
said
it for
him.
Dude,
it's September.
So.
It does not take 3 months to send things 3 months, like three states down. It's fine. Shit, September.
Yeah, I'm throwing a not-so-subtle hint.
Oh.
Hopefully it's something I can drink, but, you know.
I'm not even going
to. Or
go
maybe
there.
Not. Perhaps I need to. Yeah, let's not go there. Perhaps I need to hang on to the few brain cells I still have left. So no.
You tend to be more eloquent when you're a couple in. So it could be more like fuel for your brain. You never know.
You can't tell, man. You tend to be more eloquent the when you have a couple in, man. Don't confuse me with you. That's your
I'm
thing.
Not, I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying you definitely do. Also, why do you think there was that one show we told you to go out and get a drink? Because you kind of needed it.
I didn't need it, and that would have been the greatest show ever of all time, but I wasn't going to turn down an opportunity to get wasted.
Fair enough.
Yes. Thank you. So I guess, and now it's time to say goodbye to all our podcast friends. So I'm going to be chivalrous here. So Ms. Brittany Lynn, why don't you let the good people know where they can find you?
Well, if you want to find me on Twitter, which you do, it is Brittany _ Lynn. That is Brittni _ Lynne. And if tweeting is not really your thing and you want to find me on Instagram and just, you know, browse the picture section, that is spelled the same way. It's Brittany Lynn with no underscore.
You better be careful telling everybody if they want to browse your picture section, man. You're going to start getting dick pics and shit.
Oh, Lord. Well, I didn't think of it. Don't send those. No,
she
yeah,
didn't say the DMs were
them.
Open or anything like that. So
yeah, the DMs are
know.
Not open.
See, there we go. So they can browse all they want because they can't touch the merchandise, kind of that kind of thing.
Exactly. Merchandise is taken. So
that's fair, but they still might try to send their goods. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
You know what? That's true. They probably would, but like, don't do it, guys.
And by the way, hashtag we're good.
Hashtag we're good. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or is it I'm good? Or is it they're good? Or is it I'm a dude? He's a dude.
You're not good.
He's a
you're
dude.
Slightly. You're not good, balls. You're slightly above average. But let the good folks know where they can find you.
Hey, you know what? I'm white. I'll take it. Thank you. But anyway,
that's
people
all
can
you
find me on Twitter at IWC War Chief, where I'm slightly above average. You have fun with that one.
white and above average, and this Miller Farmer will be a millionaire before I do. Ain't that a bitch? Anywho. Hey, man, you guys know what it is, man. You guys can find me at The Real C Platt on Twitter. Bring your questions, comments, concerns, and if you want to bicker and bitch, you could do that. I had to treat a dude this week, came at me sideways, and I had to treat his life, but that's neither here nor there. So if you want to bring the shit, if you want to bring the smoke, I'm all for the smoke, okay? I am Smokey the Bear, but I'm going to let you know that your arms are way too short to box with God. But before we get out of here again, man, make sure you guys join the movement. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot t-shirts, please and thank you. If you enjoy what we do, if you enjoy what Greg DeMarco does with the Greg DeMarco Show for some weird reason, if you enjoy the brand new, back and improved Chair Shot Radio, if you enjoy Podcast Revolution, which you should, and all the other great shows and content that we provide you at the
chairshot.com. You mean Ringside Revolution? Because yeah, I don't know what Podcast Revolution is.
Yeah, hold on now.
If you're going to plug her show, say it right, or she's just going to slap you and say it for herself.
I'm out of here.
Hey, man, don't threaten me with a good time, but you're absolutely right. Yes, I do apologize. Yes, Ringside Revolution, which you guys should be checking that out anyway. And all the other great content that we provide on thechairshot.com. We truly are the premier site in terms of wrestling or sports entertainment or whatever you want to call it. Like, we really are. So if you're not going to us, you're slipping on your pimping, and you get on top of that. And if you are going to us and you appreciate what we do, well, then spread a little love, man. Join the movement. Again, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up an official, like a referee's whistle, chair shot t-shirt. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. Anywho, I think we've had a pretty good night this evening. Thank you, guys. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming or time next week. Prayerfully, hopefully Ms. Brittany Lynn's ovaries are fully reupholstered and the new car smell is there and it's going to take. So we'll be back. We'll be back at our official time next week. But thank you guys for tuning in, man. You can watch this before you watch Hell in a Cell. We gave you a little bit of Hell in a Cell. We gave you a little bit of a lot, man. So you'll be able to watch this and y'all will be all right. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks for hanging on. We really do appreciate it. So for Ms. Brittany Lynn, for Andrew Snowflake Balls Belaz, my name is Christopher Platt. Thanks for tuning in. God willing, we'll see you guys next time. Until then, shalom. Hit it, Carly.
Put it on a pole and smoke it.
Yeah.
Let me see your creamy nougat and lift your funky emotions, baby. Yes. Let me dip my almond joy into your Milky Way, baby. Yes.
Okay.
Well, she did say she likes coconut earlier, remember?
There you go. Yes. Let me take my butterfinger and explore your Reese's peanut butter cup, baby. Yeah, baby. That's right. Allow me to smash my cashews into your coconut oil. Let me dip my cauliflower into your ranch dressing, baby.
That's good. I guess you're out of food using it. That's good.
Allow me to dip my carrot stick into your Hidden Valley Ranch.
No, I guess not. That might
work. Yeah, baby. Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you do. All right, so how'd that go?
I think it went good.
Fair enough.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
No.
It wasn't bad.
It was okay.
I mean, remember, got to commit to the gimmick. That's how that one works.
Yes, you're fully committed, yes. You should probably be committed, but that's neither here nor there.
You know, I don't need to take your shit. I should hang up the phone right now.
He's like, I'm out of here.
You kind of do at least once a week.
I suppose.
Yes. All right, lady and gentlemen.
All righty. You have a good
have
one.
Have a good night, guys.
Enjoy
y'all
not watching
well.
Football tomorrow, Chris.
Oh, I will. I will enjoy watching Hell in a Cell, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is tomorrow. Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Now I actually have to see. What the hell is the 8 o'clock football game? Am I actually going to be upset?
Who cares?
Find out.
Who cares?
Football's
WWE, whack anyway, man.
Remember? I don't care. It's not in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, you got a point. But what if Tokyo 3K makes a run-in? You're going to be pissed you missed it.
What if it makes a run-in on the football game?
Then
what if
I'm
that's why
be
he's not wrestling
it.
Right now? He's playing football. Exactly.
Well, then I'm going to be pissed I missed it.
He's pulling the reverse Goldberg. Like, he started off as a wrestler, now he's going to go to football. And it's just going to be fantastic. He's going to be playing for the Browns because Josh Gordon got released or whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like he fucked that shit up, though.
He's Asian. He doesn't know any better. It's okay.
I'm not talking about Tokyo. I'm talking about Josh.
I wasn't sure which one you were talking about. I'm like, they've got baseball. They don't really got football. Like, we can't expect them to know everything.
Because, you know, I was watching, you know, I had my ESPN app up because, you know, I was trying to keep up with the college games and shit. And I saw that the Browns are getting ready to release Josh Gordon. And apparently he injured his hamstring during a photo shoot. And I don't even know how the fuck you do that.
I mean, I don't either, but then there was another report where he came into the locker room and it looked like he was not himself, as they quote-unquote put it, so they're kind of making it seem like he may be under the influence of something.
that mellow farmer got more problems than weed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can at last on weed. Like, he's got some other shit going on, man. That's not weed. Some other shit going on.
He probably does, yeah.
Yeah, that's not weed. Like, you know what I mean? You can smoke weed and be straight. Like, even Ricky Williams figured that shit out. Like,
I was just gonna say that. Look at Ricky Williams. Like, he shaved his head and ran away to Canada for a year or something like that. But he came back and he was okay.
But he figured that shit out. Yeah.
He stopped being paranoid and panicky and seeing, like, the leprechaun in the corner. And then he's like, all right, I'm good now. I'm straight. I'll go to the Ravens. We'll have a better time.
Well, it's like, hey, motherfucker, you got to give back this $7 million that we gave you. And he was like, no, I don't. I'm clean and sober. Like, that's how that worked. Yeah.
Pretty much.
But he figured it out. Like, yeah, Josh got some other shit going on, man. That's not just weed. They just saying weed because weed sounds better. But that mellow farmer got some other shit going on, man. And he's super talented, so... Whomever gets him, like, I'm predicting Dallas is going to get him. Like, I can see Jerry thinking he can save this mellow farmer. You know what I mean?
No, it's definitely either Dallas or Oakland kind of a story. Because Oakland always loves to try to turn around, like, the bad boy or, like, the veteran that's past his prime type thing.
Well, that's what sucks about Al Davis being dead, man, because if Al Davis was still alive, he would have been signed Kaepernick, and I could still be watching football at this point.
Oh, yeah, he would have. He, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
He'd be like, he's available? Okay.
Off. Yeah, if for no other reason, just to piss the league off, he would have signed him.
Oh, yeah, because there is no way that Kaepernick is worse than whoever the fuck is backing up Derek Carr right now.
No. Yeah,
is it EJ Manuel? It might be E.J. Manuel.
Is it E.J. Manuel? Jesus. Is it that bad?
It's either that Cook kid that they took a year or two ago or E.J. Manuel.
Oh, the dude
I forget which one it is. Yes.
Either way, that's all bad.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no way Kaepernick's not better. Kaepernick is definitely a top 64 quarterback. Even if he's not top 32, he's top 64. He should be a backup on some team somewhere.
And I would say he's top 32 considering some of these mellow farmers are dragging out. You know what I mean? Trubisky and Tyrod Taylor and all these motherfuckers.
Trubisky's not that bad. Taylor, sure, that's arguable. I'll give you that one.
And I could name more if I was watching, but, you know, you get the
point. I mean,
the
Peterman kid up in, you know, Buffalo is awful.
Goddamn Peterman, yeah. How does the Peterman still have a job?
Yeah, I don't know. It's because he's white.
Touche.
I got nothing else aside from that because the man's thrown like 7 interceptions in like his first 2 starts and he hasn't even finished those 2 games. Like he gets pulled at halftime both games because he throws 7 interceptions. I'm like, yeah, that's a bad fucking time. Like,
is the weed man still in the league?
Which one's the weed man?
Brandon Weedman.
Oh, Whedon. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's with the Texans.
That's going to win the collusion case right there because there's no goddamn way in hell Weedman should have a job.
You know who would win the collusion case? If Blaine Gabbert still has a job somewhere.
And he does.
He was starting for the Niners last year, but I don't actually know because I haven't heard his name pop up. I have to look that one up. If Blaine Gabbert still has a job, that should say enough right there.
Yes, touche.
All righty, guys. Have a good one.
Anywho. Yeah, y'all have a good evening.
Have a good night, guys.
All right.
All right.